I typically don't think that people are really succeeding or failing based on whether they're stripping or how they're stripping or waxing, if the customer is happy either way. But I do think that this idea of figuring out how to train for safety and do systems and processes that are safer is a way that is going to make you be elite and excellent in the industry, because the name of the game is building a team of people who feel cared for that aren't going to leave.
Welcome to Beyond Clean with Ace. In the world of commercial cleaning, newcomers and seasoned professionals know we're more than just toilets, windows, and floors. We're just like everyone else with diverse interests in everything. And over the past 7 seasons, tens of thousands have discovered engaging, thoughtful, and truly game-changing knowledge here. Whether you're a facility manager, a frontline staff member, or a building services contractor, we're here to help you grow, both personally and professionally. So hit that subscribe button and share with others, because we're all about enhancing lives in healthy, positive, and proactive ways. Now let's join Dave Thompson, Director of the Academy of Cleaning Excellence, your host here at Beyond Clean with Ace.
Hello, everyone. Well, it's Dave Thompson. And as you can see, we're back on the air. It's here, Beyond Clean with Ace. You know what? We talk about more than cleaning all the time. But, here lately, I've been getting some people that want to talk about cleaning. So guess what today? We're going to talk to somebody that's on my side of the state, not this time. Hey, if you were watching this week, well, we were talking to somebody on the other side of the states. This guy's in my time zone and probably... well, not exactly the same weather, but at least it's not 32 degrees like it was, like I talked to the guy in Washington. Is it, Blake?
It is not. Yeah, I think today we're at highs in the 50s, which is not too bad. It's been in the 40s for a couple weeks, but this is the worst time of year here in Virginia Beach. We can't wait for spring, so it's not quite like Florida.
Oh, now come on. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but we like it when we can go surfing before work in Virginia Beach.
Oh,
that's pretty nice.
Before work. Yeah, such a tough life
whatever,
you have.
You know?
Such a tough life you have surfing before work.
I did it a lot more when I was in the commercial real estate industry. Now that I'm in the janitorial industry, I don't have as much time to surf, and I have four kids. So.
Okay, so folks, let's talk to the people and tell them who you are, what you do, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah. So my name is Blake Dozier. I live in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I founded On Point Building Services in 2015, and I have a partner, Corey Jesse, that we run On Point together. And before that, I was a commercial real estate broker with CBRE. Sold and leased industrial properties. And so I came from the kind of third party management and leasing and brokerage world. So we built our business on a lot of that type of business. And then I since, moved into, direct relationships with facilities managers that work in-house for big companies. And so, but yeah, we're been learning the cleaning industry over the last 9 years, and always love meeting somebody like you who really has kind of dedicated their life and their time to growing the industry and making it better. So thankful for all that you do, and I've enjoyed getting to know you over the short period of time that we've known each other, and look forward to learning from you.
So why did you go into the cleaning industry? I imagine everybody's thinking, he's new in the cleaning industry. Why in the world would you do that at this stage in your life?
Well, I looked at, the commercial real estate brokerage thing is, kind of considered like cool and sexy to a lot of the people that I grew up with or went to college with. And I did that for a while, and I realized that every year that I was starting from scratch, I wasn't owning anything. If I became a partner in the company, it didn't actually really mean anything. They didn't actually distribute any cash hardly. Essentially like I worked for somebody else. I mean, I got to control my time because I was 100% commission,
okay.
But I didn't have any residuals or recurring revenue of something I could build, and I couldn't sell it one day. And, you know, I grew up, my dad was an entrepreneur. He was in blue collar industries as well. He had some like automotive repair, and my dad was similar to me. He didn't really know the industry, but he studied business in college, and he was a sales rep for Exxon, Mid-Atlantic sales rep. And he met one of his customers was a Exxon franchisee in Norfolk, Virginia, that was getting ready to retire. And he said, you know, if you ever want to retire, I'd love to buy your Exxon franchise. And he did that in 1979. And over the course of his career, he grew that and ran that for years. And then, you know, he had a couple other brands that he started that were just automotive repair without selling gas that he eventually sold to AAA Automotive. If you ever heard, you know, the AAA is into automotive repair now. And then in 2009, when I was at CBRE, I leased his, he helped his employees get jobs elsewhere. And I leased that first one that he bought in 1979 to Burger King. And so now he's a landlord. And I looked at what I was doing, and I didn't see a path to becoming a landlord one day like my dad. Very easily. I wasn't generating enough cash. And, you know, our market is really kind of a third tier market. It's just not very big. You know, and so, you know, some of my best friends in this market, you know, are still commercial real estate brokers, and a lot of them do really well. They've been doing it for a long time. But I had friends that had blue collar businesses, landscaping, janitorial, and they seemed to be really enjoying what they were doing, and they were building something that they could grow and then sell one day, and or keep it and give it to their kids, you know. And right, so right. I really saw a future and some excitement into creating my own brand and then growing it and creating my own culture, caring for employees, especially in an industry where people don't care for employees very well. And seeing if I could kind of be a blessing to the industry in that way. And so I've just been learning and growing over the course of the last 9 years. And, you know, I'm excited to hit that 10th year and then, you know, see what the next 10 is going to be like, you know. And it's funny now that I'm 9 or 10 years in, I don't see myself selling.
Yeah, so I'm going to say,
anytime soon.
Well, what's that magic number of 10 years? What's that mean?
I just think that, you know, I mean, I think you were telling me that most janitorial companies don't make it past, what did you say? Was it 3 years or 5 years? It's like over half of them. And so, you know, making it to 10 years is a milestone in business for any kind of business, really. And so, you know, I think March 15th, 2024, next month, that'll be 9 years for us. And so it'll be that March 15th of the following year. So I'm excited about that.
Well, hey, then I'm going to have to put that on my calendar then. On March 15th of 2025, I got to have a podcast with you, right?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to do that.
I mean, what a better way to say, you know, hey, it's like let the world know that, hey, we made it, right?
We made it. Yeah. So we're growing and we're, you know, every day trying to get better. So,
folks, before we got on the air here and we were doing some talking with Blake over the last week, you know, hey, kind of like most of us do anymore these days, we follow each other on LinkedIn, we watch what is, and then, you know, hey, I reached out and said, hey, you want to jump on the podcast? And after a few conversations, here he is. Now, you know, the thing is, I always like to look for somebody that actually wants to talk a little bit more deeper in the weeds. So, I think, Blake, if you don't mind, we kind of get down into some nitty-gritty instead of that high-level stuff today.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like you know the floor space really well. And, you know, I'm excited to learn from you, but also would love to, you know, continue that discussion we were having, because that was fairly interesting.
Okay, so I was doing a little perusing through your website here, and you know, before we jump into this, I kind of wanted to show people. I got the wrong thing up there. Well, that's not quite what I wanted. That's what I wanted, folks. Didn't need to see all my emails. Hey, it's a computer, right? Anyway, I was looking here on your website, and I was seeing that, you know, whenever I go into cleaning jobs and about us and that, I saw that you had some people on there that your employees that you're showing all the years that they've been in with you and stuff. And there was one gentleman been in there, was generating like a 30-year, milestone. And he works with you guys?
Yeah, probably Chris Isaac. He is our project manager who handles all of our floor care, post-construction cleaning. He runs all our floor crews. He goes out and meets with the clients and quotes the jobs and make sure they get done on time and on budget. And yeah, he's been in the industry for 30 years.
So, you know, I kind of thought that might be the case there. And let's tell the people, before we get into my version of all of this, when it comes to taking care of VCT floors, you were telling me some of what your crews do and stuff. And I think that most of the people are going to find that pretty common.
I think so.
And so do you want to,
we're always open to new ideas. Kind
of what they do?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we're doing, you know, like we talked about, the way that we're doing it is often the way that it's been done for many, many, many years. You know, I know there's some new methods now, and I'm definitely willing to learn. We've done it the way that we've done it because every floor tech that we ever hire knows how to do it that way. And they typically don't really want to, they're not really open to change. They don't want to use a new machine. They don't, you know, and we've tried in the past to say, hey, no, clean carpet with this machine versus this machine. And they're like, no, I want to run a bonnet. And like, we're not running bonnets because bonnets void the warranty on a lot of these carpets, you know. So anyway, there's some stuff we'll push back on, especially if what the way that they want to do it is going to hurt profitability or take longer. But you know, if an employee that shows up every night that's doing a good job and their before and after pictures on their floors are really impressive and the clients are happy, you know, we're typically not going to push hard to try to do a different way unless there's a financial reason where somebody comes in and says, if you buy this machine, you can cut your time in half on stripping and waxing this floor. And like, I'm all ears when it comes to something like that. And it seems like you've got some pretty innovative ideas that I'd love to hear.
Well, and that was the kind of conversation, folks, that we kind of got into. And this is what I think Blake said, hey, I want to talk more about this. Excuse me. You know, and I find this kind of quite often. We were doing a trade show yesterday, and all of the different services that came up to the booth and talked to me about our cleaning education, you know, pretty much had the same response. Everybody's really doing exactly the same thing, which is what I did 50 years ago and 20 years, you know, 30 years ago. But I you know, the thing is I learned. And this is something when you talk to like the guy that you were talking about that's in your program, anybody that's been in it like 30 and 40 years will know exactly what I'm saying is that we were using strippers that were very caustic to our lungs, and they still are. And as a result of that, I developed asthma, which then turned into COPD. That medication alone cost me $7,500 a year before insurance, of course, to breathe worse than most people walking around.
Wow.
So when I realized this, you know, Blake, it was like, I've got to look for a better way because as a business owner like yourself, as I was then, I did that to myself. But the worst part of all of that, Blake, I did it to my 50 employees as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly that moves the needle a little bit more than the financial side of it.
Correct. And I think this is what it, especially after, you know, everybody says post pandemic. And I think, you know, we use it as a milestone now, a gauge anymore, that health is the number one thing that, you know, of course, we all knew this, but it became more prevalent. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, talk about caring for your employees. I mean, health and safety is number one, you know?
So to my point of this is that, you know, now what do we do and why are we doing what we're doing? And if strippers are causing this problem, and yes, it's a low grade thing, and this is exactly what happened to me and most of the people I know of my age that were doing the same thing, is that we all have respiratory issues because of these caustic strippers that we were dealing with then. Now, I won't say they're all the same now today, but there's still a lot of high pH caustic strippers that people are using when they flood strip and use a side-by-side.
Yep.
Which is what you're saying most of your people are doing, right?
That's correct.
So, you know, my point is, why are we doing that and do we need that? And, you know, probably time goes by pretty quick, but about 15 years ago, the oscillating technology came to floor care. And unfortunately, I don't think people have warmed up to it as a whole in our industry as much as they possibly can.
And why do you think that is?
Well, just exactly what you were saying a minute ago. Try to take a mop out of a janitor's hand.
Yeah. It's I guess it's the old dog, new tricks thing. People want to do what they're comfortable with and what they know. And, you know, you really got to give them a strong reason why it's worth doing it differently. And I think that the safety argument is the best argument that I've heard, because I haven't really heard a lot of, you know, financial arguments where this is way faster to do it this way versus this way, or, but you know, to be honest, I've always been more involved on the business side of things and less in the nitty gritty on the floor care side of things. And I'm, you know, always interested and want to learn. But typically, I've always trusted experts like you, who have done it a lot more than me as far as like methods go and what machine to use and what pad to use. And I have, you know, the best, my supplier has been unbelievable ever since we started the business, has always answered the phone, to help us with the right way to do things. And, or my chemical company, we use Spartan Chemical, and Spartan has always been great. Anytime I have a question, they will come down and go look at a floor with me. And, you know,
so
I'm always open to hearing from an expert like you.
So to your point though, you said the financial side and running the business. So let me follow that one a little bit here. First, as we're talking about this, Blake, if you think about it, you probably know these numbers then, and you probably, I don't want it exact, but, What do you think the cost is of replacing a floor care tech as we're talking today, because they can't work anymore, they can't do that job anymore, and you're replacing them with somebody? What do you think the cost is to you?
I hear numbers on this stuff all the time, and I've heard anything in the janitorial industry from replacing a cleaner is anywhere from $300 to $30,000. Literally, I had somebody send me an email yesterday that said it cost $25,000 to replace and train a cleaner. And
we're talking highly trained floor tech. We're not talking a regular just cleaner. We're talking a high tech floor tech.
I don't know how to quantify it, and I don't know how people really do, because the numbers are all over the place. But I think it's probably more than most people want to pay. The point is really, it's you don't want to have to replace them.
Blake, you are exactly right. That is my point. We don't even want to think about it, do we?
No. It's expensive. However much it is, it's better not to have to replace people at the end of the
day. Because as you said, that person is a person that's going to go out there and do the floor. You don't want to have the callback. You just want them to do it. You want to see that before and after picture and don't hear a complaint from the customer, right?
That's exactly right.
That's what makes you money and makes the profit to keep the business going.
That's right.
So my point is, keeping that person healthy and keeping them on the job should be, and I'm not talking to you directly, Blake, I'm talking to our industry, that should be the number one goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I hear this all the time. Well, the customer is the most important thing. No, it's got to be the employee, keeping that employee safe and healthy, because they're the drive of our business.
Yeah, that's what we believe. I mean, you can't care for customers without good employees. And so, you got to have a priority, right? You got to build a good team of people that are cared for really well, and then they're going to care for your customers. But like,
so the number one thing that I'm saying here, whenever we're talking about stripping and refinishing floors, is the whole technique, the whole system of flood stripping with a side-by-side and a wet vac with a wand on it is so archaic to what we have available. Why in the world is our industry still promoting us doing it that way?
I wouldn't call our industry as one of the quickest to adapt new methods and technologies.
That's a nice way of putting it.
If you go to like the ISSA show, you got, you know, acres and acres of booths of new technologies and things like, I think the only way that a lot of these companies that are in the Jansan industry that are coming out with new technologies and softwares, I think a lot of times the only ways that they survive and get off the ground is by the sheer fact that there's so many janitorial companies out there. Right. And so there has to be, for there to be that many acres of booths at ISSA for that many different products that are competing against one another.
My point is oscillating technology came out 15 plus years ago. It's not new. Mm-hmm. Now it may be new as the lifespan of life, but I mean, 15 years is not really that new, and it's not that, yeah. I mean, earth shattering kind of technology. For the love of me, I cannot figure out why we still want to fight a side-by-side machine, which is slower, it doesn't scrub the floor evenly. It's more labor intensive. It's not user friendly. When you can put the same pads underneath the oscillating machine, do it faster, do it more friendly to the worker, and do it with less issues of splashing and cleanup later. I cannot understand this, Blake.
I think there's just not enough people in the industry that are talking about it. I mean, you know, I've been in the industry 9 years, and you're the first person who's really beat this drum to me. And it makes a lot of sense to me, but I haven't, you know, I go to a lot of conferences. I sit in a lot of sessions. I participate in peer group and masterminds groups, and I don't hear people talking about this. And it seems like hearing you talk about it, you've got some really good thoughts on it. And, you know, I want to learn more.
So think about this. A pad, no matter what color it is, folks, is simply cut in a die, either round or rectangle. That's all there is difference.
That's right.
So why is it that everybody believes that a, what they call square scrub, which I know that's the name of a brand, and I'm not trying to
promote one brand.
And quite honestly, folks, if you really look at it, and one of my students said this to me one time, he said, it's not square, it's rectangle.
Yeah. Why isn't it rectangle scrub?
Because it doesn't ring right. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
But the thing is it's the same pad. So, you know, I'm like, okay, why cannot we as an industry get this through our head? Just because the manufacturer came out and called it a dry stripping machine, why is it that we as an industry believe that that's the only thing we can do with it?
Yeah, I mean, from what I know, you can do just about everything with it. I just use the pad that the manufacturer recommends.
But this is my
I do what the expert tells me.
But this is my point, Blake. You know, I'm not knocking anybody here. I don't want to get that, but I'm like, you run your business, and the 30-year veteran that you have working with you knows exactly what I'm talking about here. Whenever we grab these machines, we grab these tools, we need to use a little bit more sensibility of what is this going to do. I mean, we all know that corners are typically not round.
Yeah. Yeah, they're having to hand scrub those corners.
So why not take an oscillating machine and go in the corner? I don't care what color pad you have on it. I don't care what process you're doing. If you want a top scrub with a blue pad, if you're chemical stripping with a black pad, why not do that? And the thing is every time that they turn on that rotary machine, it slings whatever's on the floor everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how much time are they spending cleaning up after what they created?
More than they are if they did it dry.
But even if they did it with a rectangular machine in the same stripping solution, it will not splash like that. They won't have the cleanup. So there's your time and your money going out the drain.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's
hitting you right where it counts,
Master. You make a strong argument.
So my thing here is just at the surface. Now, here's the other thing that I find that's really interesting. We have been conditioned. I'm going to use that word, folks. I'm going to try to choose my words carefully today. That we always have to run the handle down because it's a low speed machine and you can't operate it any other way. Is that worker friendly? If you think about it. Now, remember, my focus is always on keeping my people healthy and safe. That's my primary thing. So whenever I teach class, it's if that machine or that program is not promoting good health, then I need to change something. So absolutely. When I look at it, I'm like, why is the person lowering the handle, dropping their center of gravity and leaning forward when an oscillating machine runs perfectly fine, handle straight up?
Yeah.
So if you've ever been, folks, if you're listening to this or watching this today, and you've been that person that spent 6 or 7 hours on the end of a side-by-side machine, you probably know full well what I'm talking about right now.
That's true.
So if you think of the, you know, Blake, this was my point that we were talking about the other day. If in fact that person now can run for a longer period of time, be better, have better footing, there's my productivity rates.
I love it. We're definitely going to be looking into this.
hey, wait, now I sent you the ISSA book, right?
You did.
And that sheet, what did you see? What did you think?
I looked at it really quickly, but you know, it looks like some of the production times are pretty, they go up pretty high.
Now, do you understand why?
Yeah. Thank you for explaining it. I was looking at that and I didn't make sense to me, but that, I understand now.
And I think this is the point. The ISSA cleaning times is a great reference tool, and I use it just like everybody else uses whatever tools we've got. My point is that making it a reality is things. It's like you use a divided bucket system, correct?
That's right.
Why?
So we're not mopping with dirty water.
Well, explain to people. Maybe there's some people listening that don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So traditionally, your traditional mop bucket that most people are used to seeing is a one chamber. And so you start out with clean, soapy water with your chemical in it. And the further along you get, every time you stick that mop back in there, it's getting dirtier and dirtier. So by the time you're the last 10 to 20% of the floor, the water is the dirtiest and you're putting dirty water back down on the floor. And so we've always been a fan of mopping systems that have two chambers. And so you would never take your dirty mop off the floor to put back in your clean water. You'd rinse it out in the dirty side first and then put it in your clean water. And so it really lets your bucket of mop water last longer and gives you better results in your mopping.
So how many people, whenever you start them on that, don't like it?
Yeah. So, I mean, the mopping systems that we've used traditionally, are pretty different than what most people are used to. I mean, we've used something called a spin and drop system from an Italian manufacturer called Filmop, and they're extremely expensive compared to your average string mop and bucket, which is probably 120-year-old technology, you know. And so it uses microfiber flat mops that are ringable, two chambers, and you know, it takes a lot more training time. And some of them don't like to use it, or they, if you don't train them right, they do it incorrectly. And it, you know, costs several times more than a traditional mop bucket and mop head. And, you know, we've just found that it's worth it because of the appearance of the floors, that the result that the customer gets is just much better. And we've also found that when people use those traditional string mop heads, the cleaners typically just leave them on there and just let them drip dry, but they mildew, they're gross, they don't usually get laundered. And so on these flat mop systems, we will generally like take those and launder them along with the microfiber rags. Right. And so we'll buy 10 of them. So we've got, even at, you know, they cost $10 a mop head, but we'll buy 10 of them for a big, you know, for a building with a lot of hard floors. And, you know, then we will, you know, do laundry every week and always have a fresh set of 5 mop heads to be used, you know, every night. And we're using clean laundered mop heads. So it just really, floors are one of the top places that you get complaints from, and it's worth spending a little bit more money to make sure that your floor care is excellent and your just nightly mopping is getting the results that your customers expect, you know.
So whenever you're talking about that, now I know that you seem to know a lot more of that than I thought you would, since you aren't the tech guy, you know. But I'm like, how much of that do you think is actually safer and healthier for the employee to use that rather than this, what I call the sloppy single hole bucket and mop?
Yeah, I've never thought about it from that perspective. I've just always seen it as a better way to do it. And if you have thoughts on that, I'd love to hear that. I'd be very interested in that.
Well, there is, and I learned, hey, I'm going to go right along with you. I learned about the spin and drop and that technology from Filmop. And so as I've moved around the country and different manufacturers, it's the idea, the concept. But one of the things I learned as I watched people try to adjust from the conventional mop and everything to the spin and drop technology is they didn't know how to use it. And interestingly enough, I think most people don't understand the technician and health benefits, and in the training that you mentioned, of exactly how to actually train that. And one of the things that's interesting, if you've ever been like me, you've probably taken a mop and pulled it up and went up and down and up and down, and you hit the ceiling or the light bulb sometime. And so I've found definitely, a different way. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody has done that. I can guarantee you every single person listening here that's been a janitor has done that, and maybe more than once. And so the thing is, I found a different way, and my hand placements, which are very important to, well, remove that. Because, you know, the thing about it is, if you think about this, folks, a fluorescent tube that we're usually working under, if you knock that out, that's mercury on your head. Glass is one thing.
That's not a good thing.
Right, absolutely. My point. And so I actually, whenever I
show people, it's definitely a safety hazard.
I told you, hey, you know, whenever I think about
this, you want to avoid that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You know, it's always my first thing with everything that I do has got to be health and safety of that frontline technician working with that product. So in the skills training portion of it, I always suggest that you always grab the mop handle with your left hand. And the handle should rest against your elbow. Now, I know there's dead air there, folks, and you're going, hey, it's a podcast. Where's that dead air? I'm just giving that time to sink in because there is a reason for everything that I do. And the reason is because if you do that with a mop handle, regardless of whether you're whatever mop handle it is, I don't care, folks, what it is. If you do that, the handle will always be at your waist and behind you, not in the ceiling poking out the light.
It's good stuff.
Now, the reason you always use your left hand is because every ringer on every bucket by every manufacturer is on the right-hand side.
That's true.
And in this way, the technician will never twist and bend like they will when you do it the other way.
You've thought through every aspect of it.
And this is actually, and the thing about it is whenever I do education with my frontline technician about bringing in new technology, we have to understand that if it's not about them and protecting their health, they have not listened fully. And I think this is what I learned over the years, Blake, is that we bring in new technology. And as you said, your supplier brings in stuff and they're doing good for you. But how the frontline worker accepts that is really important.
I feel like this is
more me talking today, Blake, than you. This is supposed to be a podcast with you, not me.
Yeah, I haven't built my business on being an expert on, the details of those types of things. We've gotten better at it over the years. But like when I was first getting started, I didn't know the industry. I mean, really, you don't have to be an expert at these types of things to get into the business, and you don't have to have money to get into this business. Like, you can start a cleaning company with a car and a vacuum. And so well, that's why it's such a low barrier to entry. I've built my business more on answering the phone and figuring out problems for customers and teaching, bringing white collar practices to a blue collar industry and teaching janitorial industry people how to respond and handle a customer issue like we would have when I was in commercial real estate and how, they expect their vendors to respond is not how most janitorial companies do business. They just don't know how to act professionally. And so, we've brought in people who are experts at these types of things, but we've also, my business partner was a mergers and acquisitions guy. So we bought three companies over the course of the last 9 years. And so, if you want to ask me questions about those types of things, that's usually what people want me on to ask about. I typically don't think that people are really succeeding or failing based on how they're stripping or waxing, if the customer is happy either way. But I do think that this idea of figuring out how to train for safety and do systems and processes that are safer is a way that is going to make you be elite and excellent in the industry, because the name of the game is building a team of people who feel cared for that aren't going to leave. And if they feel cared for, they feel like you care about their safety, and this is what I'm trying to do all the time, is build a culture, right. of build the best culture in the industry and have the best talent. I think that the stuff that you're talking about is typically, I've gotten a lot of that industry knowledge and stuff from suppliers, chemical company. I bring in an expert and they will do the initial training on the machine or the mop system or how to, pro team, like how to fix the vacuum, things like that. But you seem to have a little bit higher of a knowledge coming at those things from a safety perspective that I think communicates to the employee that you really care about them and you want them to be safe and exceed, you know, at their job in every way, you know.
So performance, production rates are extremely important when you bid a job.
That's right.
And so my point is, as we talk about this, folks, is that all of these things matter. And, you know, as you said, you know, the acquisitions and mergers, they definitely are extremely important. How you work with all of your vendors, how you work with your clients, your retention rates, all of these things make, and this is the thing that's interesting from an entrepreneurial viewpoint, you've got a lot of things to cover. Which one's the most important is, I still believe, and I don't know if everybody agrees with me on this podcast or not, but it's always that employee that's doing the frontline work.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a really, really hard industry to build culture and to care for employees because it's a dispersed workforce and you've got people, at least in our market. I mean, we've got the way that we do, we don't take anything that's less than five nights a week. So when we hire somebody to clean a building, they're dedicated to that building. And, and they're not running routes in a van to 10 different places at night. And so I might hire somebody to clean something that's in my market, but it's, you know, on the edge of my market and it could be an hour drive away. And like once after they're hired, they usually don't come back to the office. Like they get direct deposit or, you know, and so
they're remote,
you have to
workers.
Work really hard. Yeah. So, I mean, we're sending out area managers and zone supervisors to train for them, to check on them, to care for them, to bring them pizza and donuts and things like that. But
yeah, I mean, they get all the support, right?
They get the support, but like just from a general like culture, it's not like a lot of white collar industries where your whole team is in, you know, one office together, or you have a bunch of offices, but you have a group of people here and a group of people here. It might be like, the only people that they really interact with from the company are the 4, 5, 6, 10 other people in their building, and their area manager and zone supervisor that visit them, you know, multiple times a week. But like they don't see, you know, a lot of the other people in the organization very often. So, you know, really the only way to win in that way is putting in systems and processes that, as the owners and the leadership, you're pushing these systems and processes down that are pushing good training, pushing safety, pushing good care for the equipment, all these types of things. Like, you know, if you want to be scalable as a janitorial company, that's the only way to do it. Because, you know, we have over 100 sites. Like if I were to visit them, by the time that I get back around to the next site, they couldn't pick me out of a lineup. They don't know what I look like. You know what I mean?
And I've got four kids at home.
At the end of the day, it's actually not in their best interest to have me being the one going around to see them all the time. Like, what is in their best interest is that I keep growing the company and winning new contracts and working on these systems and processes to make their life better and their benefits package better, so that they have opportunity for growth and advancement. Because we are constantly, like, you know, 10 out of 10 times, I'd rather hire somebody from within for a promotion than hire somebody from the outside. And so we've kind of built a culture around that. And 9 times out of 10, we hire somebody from the inside for a promotion. And that is, if we don't grow the company, we can't pay them more. We can't give them promotions because there's not new area manager positions or zone supervisor positions or, you know, operations positions in office for them to move into. So I think in the industry, you know, some people, they get to a certain size and they're making enough money for themselves as owners, and they just want to stay at that. They don't want the additional headache. And I think as owners, we have a moral responsibility to continue growing our companies so that we can give opportunities to our people.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're the ultimate remote businesses.
That's right. Before there was remote work.
When everybody was talking about remote working from home, we've been doing that for a long time. I think our whole industry
Whole industry's built on that.
So what, I mean, you know, I guess, I've taken a lot of your valuable time today on the podcast. I appreciate that. I've enjoyed it. What's in the future?
I mean, I think that what we're trying to do is always continue to make our systems and processes better. And so that means we're always training, we're always learning, we're always taking classes and industry certifications. And that is from top to bottom. So, you know, whenever I hear somebody talking about better safety training, I'm interested. Whenever I hear somebody talking about training that's going to increase production rates for a certain task, I'm always interested. And so, you know, I think in this business and really any organization, like the day that you feel like you've arrived and you stop growing, you've fooled yourself. And that's when people start passing you and you stop growing because, you know, yeah, I think you always got to be hungry. You always got to be reading books, always got to be listening to podcasts, always got to be learning more. Cause you know, some people might look at this industry and be like, well, what's there to learn? It's pretty simple. It's just cleaning. I would argue that there's always something new. There's always a better way to do something. And you know, we do constantly have different softwares coming out. We have different products coming out and, you know, they're all generally trying to solve problems in the industry that haven't, you know, been solved well yet. And there's lots of problems in this industry that nobody's solved well yet. And so we're always looking to find a better answer for how to do things and build that system and process so that we can teach our leaders that, and then they can teach the leaders below them that, and that filters all the way down to the frontline cleaner, where that cleaner feels like, man, I've never worked at a company that's this organized, that cares for me this well, that has this good of a benefits package. You know, all of those things kind of boil down into eventually retention, which makes hiring easier, which makes quality better, which makes customer retention higher, and leads to success.
And now you've got the whole package, right? It's all of it, right?
Yeah.
Here we are. We go all the way right back around to it, and it still is all of it. There's not really one that's more important. It's a whole ball of everything.
Yeah. Yep. I love this industry. I mean, it's, I didn't get into it because I loved cleaning. But I think a lot of the most successful people that are in this industry didn't get into it because they love cleaning. Some of them did, but, I got into it because I got into it because I feel like it is a really, it's really fertile ground to love and care for people that aren't really well loved and cared for by a lot of the companies in our industry. They're kind of overlooked. They're kind of taken for granted. They're often underpaid. They're often undertrained, underappreciated. And so for somebody who really wants to learn how to care for people and wants to dedicate their time and like thinks that that's the way to win in this business, success is not that hard. You just keep doing that every day and building relationships with them, being genuine. You're going to build loyalty. The sky's the limit for if you really dedicate yourself to learning how to care for your people. And it's taken us 9 years. I mean, we're working on it every day. And there's so many ways that we can be better at it. But like, I think that the bar's really low in our industry. Like most companies are not caring for their people that well. They're not training their people that well. Their turnover rate's really high, you know? And so, you know, I like to compare ourselves to us yesterday and not the rest of the industry. You know, if we were the best, you know, there's really not a way to know if we're the best in all these areas, because it's not like all of our competitors are broadcasting how they do things. And so really the only thing that I can do is compare myself to myself yesterday. Am I improving? Am I getting better? And that's the encouragement I would give to others in the industry is like, you know, are you getting better? Are you working to grow and learn? And do you have a growth mindset and a growth mentality?
You know, as a podcast host, I'm always looking for those words to put at the front of a podcast. And then at the end, I'm always going, well, what's your closing statement? I think Blake gave me both of those, folks. I have the lead in and I have the end. there's nothing more to talk about today, but I got a feeling that you and I can talk for several hours.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do it.
So I have a feeling that this might not be the only time that you've heard from Blake and his operation. You know, I'm going to throw this up here. Let me get it up here. There it is. onpointserviceco.com. There we go. For those of you that
onpoint.com was taken.
Yeah, if you were listening to the podcast on audio, we were going to have all of the show notes at the bottom. If you've been watching the video, you've been able to see it from time to time. I'm going to put up his email address going across there right now, Blake, so they can get hold of you. You know, hey, there's a lot of stuff in the industry, but I like what you said. It still is about the employees. And as a business owner, mergers, acquisitions, benefit packages, it's all important to that frontline employee, because without you doing all of that, they don't have anything to work for.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you to you for having me on. And, you know, I really appreciate people in the industry that say things that make you think and make you learn things you haven't heard. And pretty much most of the things that you say are making me think and making me grow. So I'm definitely interested in talking more and learning from you.
Now, I would be amiss, folks, if I didn't mention that we have an upcoming master's trainer course. It is April the 22nd through the 25th here in Orlando. There's only 10 spots available. Two are already taken as we record this today. So please go on to academyofcleaning.com, get the full experience there. You can follow us on LinkedIn, and Facebook, YouTube, where you might be watching this podcast right now. So, Blake, there's two questions I ask my first-time guests. Where were you born?
Virginia Beach, Virginia, right here.
Ah, okay. And here's the second one, since it is probably where we're close to the first of the year. What is on your personal bucket list for this year?
Spend more time with my kids. I've got four kids, twins that are, they're 10, boy, girl, little girl that's 7, and a little boy that's 5. And I am trying to be more intentional about planning things ahead of time to do with this year, instead of just like showing up to work and, like, you know, basically parenting you know, things are just happening to me. I'm trying to be more intentional about planning things out so that I spend more intentional quality time with them and do some kind of cool activities that are going to create some memories.
Hey, you know, everybody has a different thing. And as an entrepreneur of a company like this, as you said, we don't get a whole lot of time to do what we want to. And if I had four kids, I understand that totally. Thanks for being on, folks. Well, there is a reason that I asked those two questions as I part with my guest, because now you know where Blake was born, right there where he's still at. We know that he's had a little bit of a journey between, all of the different things, and now in the cleaning business. We'll see how long he stays in the cleaning business now. But what we don't
know.
Hopefully a long time. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we know this year he's going to try to spend more time with those four kids. Why do we ask these questions? Because I don't know where your journey has taken you. I don't know where you started, but I do know this. Between now and the next time we talk with you folks, make sure that whatever you do, you keep it healthy, positive, and proactive. Till next time, be safe out there, folks.